I could just sit and listen to them. Thank you. It is such a treat when they come, and both of them are moms. So on Mother's Day, they're giving us a great treat. And we thank you for that, and we bless you for bringing that music. It's Mother's Day. You know, happy Mother's Day. I trust that you are feeling honored today. We try to figure out ways that we can show you that we care about you, that we care about who you are and all that you've done. We want to acknowledge that your job is a lot tougher, especially today, a lot tougher than many of us fully understand. And we appreciate you. I trust that you're, guys, I hope you're making an effort to honor your mom today. That's my problem too, Jerry. My mom died a long time ago. And I, to tell you the honest truth, I envy people who still have moms that they can go to and honor and bless today. And I really miss my mom. I really do. If you have a mom who's still alive and still blessing you with her presence, make an effort to make contact with her and let her know how important she is and that you care about her and that you're glad that for all that she has done and who she is. If you can honor her in some way today, do it. Just do it. Have you been connecting with Jesus this week? Last week, I really started talking about how can we connect with our Heavenly Father, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. How is it that we can draw closer? How can we become more intimate with Him? And I began last week by talking about Jesus from John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and really going through some very basic and simple ideas of who He is, that He is God, that He is sovereign, that He is creator, that He is worth whatever honor that we can give Him. I want you, during these weeks, to draw closer to God. And I trust that this week you've been able to know and connect with Christ more fully. I think just remembering who He is, that He's not just a name out there, He's not just something that we talk about, but that He's a real person, that He is God. And even more astonishingly, He gives a rip about what you say. He does. I don't understand that. But He does. And He cares about you. He cares about how you feel. He cares about your experience of life. He cares about you. And really just knowing who He is, that He is God, that He is creator, but knowing more about Him can make a big difference in the way that you experience His presence and the way that you're able to connect with Him. And you know, I want you to connect with Him, with God. And I'm not talking about the kind of whirlwind experience you may get at church camp. I first came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior at Trout Lake Camp. Wonderful experience. But here I'm talking about a lifelong, life-changing relationships that is able to move deep into the very core of your being. Now, last week we talked about drawing closer to Jesus, studying His life, reading the Gospels, walking with Him daily, knowing Him more intimately, finding ways that you can expose yourself to who He is, because it is a marvelous thing when you think about it. And when you're exposed to His life and what He said and who He is, it becomes even more remarkable. And the more you know Jesus, the more amazing it is that you have the right and the privilege to draw close. That astonishes me. Every time I think about who he is, that I can draw close to him and he cares. I'm still trying to understand what that means. And I'm sure many of you have been able to go far beyond my ability, but I'm deeply humbled. Deeply, deeply humbled that he wants to draw near to me, that he wants to know me more intimately. Today, I want to talk about another way we can connect with God, and probably a way that is in many ways even more intimate, and that's our experience with the Holy Spirit. Bill Bright will be remembered as one of the greatest evangelists of the 20th century. He was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, and through his ministry he was involved in leading literally millions of people to Jesus Christ all over the world. Of all the biblical doctrines and spiritual disciplines that Bill Bright was passionate about, there was one topic more dear to Bill Bright than any other. He once said that if he had only one message to preach, it would be on the topic that we'll look at today. He said, "If I had only one sermon to preach, it would be how to be filled with the Holy Spirit." To him, everything funneled down to that. Now, over the years, I have seen how this experience changes people. I've seen it happen to Methodists and Episcopalians and Catholics and Lutherans and Baptists and fundamentalists and liberals and people of every other imaginable faith tradition. When they experience a personal connection with the Holy Spirit, their life goes into overdrive. Their prayer life changes. They experience a newfound joy. They experience power over sin. And they feel a closeness to God that they've never felt before. How many have I heard them come to me and say, "So this is what it's about." Yeah. That's what God has in mind from the very beginning. That kind of personal, intimate relationship where he connects with you every moment of every day. This is what Jesus said would happen. He told his disciples in John 14, verse 16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." In John 14, 27, just a few verses later, he said, "The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." And after the resurrection, in the first chapter of Acts, the 8th verse, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a life-changing experience. It's an experience that opens the door to power in your life and peace and the presence of God. It connects to your heart and your psyche and who you are, the deepest parts of who you are, in ways that nothing else will. The Spirit-filled life is not intended to be an option for believers. It's intended to be a requisite, an essential part of living the Christian life. Now, we're not a Pentecostal church. Well, we are. We believe in Pentecost. Of course we do. But we're not a rolling in the aisle kind of church like that. I'll tell you the mistake that we sometimes make when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. Since there are some faith traditions that believe differently than we do, we sometimes spend too much time focusing on how we're not like them. Right? Don't we? We want to make sure that we draw that line clearly. We're Baptists. Right? We never get emotional. Right? Huh? Right? We're straight as an arrow. We're boring. We're Baptists, after all. You know, we sometimes fail to teach the truth of Scripture because we don't want to be mistaken for some who maybe go a little bit overboard, okay? We're afraid that if we preach on God's desire to prosper His people, we'll sound like some of those name it and claim it guys. We're afraid if we preach on holiness and purity, we'll sound like those sour-faced legalists who think God is against everything. He's just the no man, kind of like the Republicans, right? We're afraid that if we preach on social action and our responsibility to the poor, we'll sound like we're preaching third world liberation theology and we're getting liberal. And we're sometimes afraid that if we preach too much on the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we'll come across like one of those guys on TV with big swirly hair and a white suit. Right? Don't we kind of modify what we say so that we make sure that we're not like one of them? I think we do, and by doing that, we miss much of the truth and power and reality that God wants us to experience. We shouldn't let that fear of being like them stop us. We can't ignore biblical truth just because there are some who maybe don't teach it accurately. Our responsibility is to present the Word of God to you in its fullness. And the Bible talks a lot about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Even Baptists are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I can say to you today, unequivocally, that you need an experience with the Holy Spirit if you want to succeed in the Christian life. You cannot succeed. You cannot walk faithfully if you don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ever hear that from a Baptist before? I'm a hardcore Baptist. I've been one all my life. Today we're going to look at a brief story in the book of Acts, and then we'll talk about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Let's take a look at our text for today. In Acts chapter 8, and we'll read the 14th through the 17th verses. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, the theologian in me wants to dissect this experience so that I can ensure that it supports theologically everything that I believe about the doctrine of salvation. But we'll save that for another time, thankfully. Today, we'll look at what we can learn from the example of this story about an experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, first, there are some things that being filled with the Holy Spirit or not. When I was in the Air Force, I attended a church in North Little Rock, Arkansas, when I was tech school. And it was interesting because one day a friend of mine and I decided we're going to go try a church that we had never been to before. It was a Pentecostal church. We decided to go and try it out just to see what it was like. We wanted to get a lay of the land.
And so we went through the service, and it was kind of weird. Baptists are not used to the speaking in tongues and the gloss, I mean, all the stuff that goes on. I'm sorry, it's just hard for someone like me to fully understand and enter into that. And everybody that was there could see how stiff I was. And then I was kind of looking around and thinking, oh, man, I'm really not entering into this. But then for some reason, the pastor decided that I needed, I don't know, to loosen up. But he kind of focused on me and decided I needed to speak in tongues. And that if I was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, I'd be okay. And so at the end of the service, I thought, oh boy, we're going to get out of here real quick. He pointed at me. And all of a sudden, I was surrounded by all these people. And they were laying their hands on me, and they were crying and weeping and shouting and talking about how I should be filled with the Holy Spirit, I should experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that I should speak in tongues. And I didn't know what to do. I was scared out of my mind. I really was. And they would not let me go. I tried to get up and go. They wouldn't let me go because that was a lack of faith. And I just remember they would just press down on me more. And then I finally remembered a phrase in German that I learned in high school taking a German class. And I spouted that out. And they just went crazy. They fell on the floor. They praised the Lord. I had spoken in tongues. Now I had been filled with the Spirit. And they backed away enough that we were able to slip out. That was my experience of a Pentecostal church. And ever since then, I've been even more scared. Now, obviously, there was something wrong with that. And your Pentecostal churches, I'm sure, would be the first ones to say, that's not what we're about. And I think over the years, they've become a little more balanced in that. That was at the time, and in the South, when the only assurance there was that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. And the Pentecostal church has thought more thoroughly about it and has moved away from that position. But that was a scary kind of thing. But the Bible makes it clear that the people of God are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And rather than back away and be afraid of it, because of these kinds of experiences, God has made it clear to me that we need to embrace it and learn what it means and live it in our lives. Now, I want you to notice that there were people who were following Jesus but had not experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit because, as Luke says, the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. Now, I'll explain this a little more in just a minute, but I want you to realize that there are a lot of believers today in the same situation. You've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're saved and going to heaven, but you're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. You're living your life on your own strength, and you're doing the best you can, but you're finding out the best you can do is never quite good enough, and you live your life with a sense of failure. God's plan for His people is not just that we accept Him and that we do our best to follow His rules. God's plan for His people is that we accept Him and receive Him into our lives so that He lives through us. When you're weak, He wants to give you strength. When you're afraid, He wants to give you courage. When you're in turmoil, He wants to give you peace. God isn't asking you merely to try to obey His rules. He's asking you to allow Him to come into your life and have a personal relationship with Him and to let Him help you become like Jesus. Okay? That's what the filling of the Spirit is. It's the personal relationship part of our connection with God. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do today. I won't insist that any one of you speak in tongues. Lock the doors. No. I'm going to encourage you to come before God just like these Samaritan believers and ask to receive the Holy Spirit into your life this morning. You may say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I already have the Holy Spirit. I've already been filled. I already know all about this. I understand what you're saying. Here's what I'm saying. I'm encouraging you to come before God and admit your need for His presence and His power and His fullness in your life. To ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit like you have never been filled before. Ask Him to send His Spirit into your life in a life-changing way, with power, with blessing, with anointing, with gifts, with fruits, with service, and with love. Ask Him to fill you with His overflowing presence. Now, here's what I know. He'll do it if you ask. He made this promise. In Jeremiah 29:13, He said, "You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart." Hebrews, the 11th chapter, says that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And that means that if you ask God, "Lord, fill me with Your Spirit," He will do it. Okay? You receive the filling of the Spirit by asking for it. Not by working for it or paying for it or earning it in any way. You receive the filling of the Spirit by asking for it with a pure heart. In the same chapter of Acts, there's a story about a man named Simon, who after seeing Peter and John pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, decided he wanted that too. So he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power too." And Peter said, "You cannot buy the gift of God with money. The Holy Spirit is a gift. You receive Him into your life the same way you receive salvation. You ask for it." When it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, there are three things I want you to remember this morning, before I'm going to ask you to do it this morning, to ask God to fill you. First, being filled with the Holy Spirit means opening everything up to His presence and control. It's surrendering your life. It's taking away the hiding places. It's turning on the light. It's opening the door to that messy room and inviting Him in. It's saying, "Here is my whole life. Everything. And I invite you in. Even if it's not picked up, even if it's messy, even if the way it looks may not be pleasing to you, here I am, just as I am. I just open my life to You." Now, splitting theological hairs, when you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit. Make no mistake about it, okay? All of Him. Jesus came into your life. He forgave you of your sins. The old sinful nature was buried, and you became a new creation in Christ. The Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God. That work is complete. When you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not receiving more of Him. He's receiving more of you. Catch that difference? You might say that He's like a visitor in your home who so far has only been allowed into the front room. But now when you surrender yourself fully to God, the Holy Spirit is given free rein through the entire household, the den, the study, the halls, the kitchen, that messy bedroom where the bed isn't made, you know, the attic and the basement, every part of the house. And when you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're giving more of yourself to God. Asking the Spirit to fill you is giving the Spirit of God free rein through your whole house. Here's the second thing I want you to think about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit profoundly affects your temperament, your judgment, and your response to life. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the upper room and filled those present with his power, some observers cracked that these men were filled with wine. In other words, hey, these guys are drunk, you know? It's a good analogy, actually, to tell you the truth. Anyone who has been drunk can understand it. You can drink just a few ounces of an alcoholic beverage, and it will completely take control over your body. It affects the way that you think and the way you talk. It affects your judgment. It affects your temperament. When you're under the influence of alcohol, you literally become a different person. The same can be said for being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It affects your temperament. It affects your judgment. It affects the way you think and the way you talk. I've heard people say, "That wasn't me. That was the beer talking." Ever hear that? And that's always a negative thing, right? Yeah, it is. I'm telling you today that you can also have the experience of being able to say, "I can't take credit for this good thing. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit working through me." When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you find yourself in situations where you're able to speak the exact words of comfort that a hurting person needs to hear. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you find yourself in situations where you're able to pray with power, where you're able to give generously, where you're able to accomplish great things, and you will know, "That's not me. It's the Holy Spirit working through me." Being filled with the Holy Spirit means your temperament, your judgment, and your response to life are shaped more than ever before by the Holy Spirit. You are a different person because the Spirit of God is taking control of who you are. Here's the third thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience. This is the Baptist piece of this, I think. In many Pentecostal churches, they look for that one single experience of being baptized, is the term they use, with the Holy Spirit. And then from then on, everything is cool. I really think Scripture teaches something else, that being filled with the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience. You're not just filled with the Holy Spirit one time, and that one time filling lasts you until you get to heaven. It's an ongoing experience. You ask to be filled day after day, moment after moment. You're focused on allowing the Spirit of God to have more of you. I remember hearing a preacher say, "Every hour of every day, I ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit." The point he was making is that the filling of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience. We're constantly filled and refilled and filled again as we walk with God throughout the day. Connecting with God does not mean one encounter that carries the distance. It means a daily, hourly, minutely, if you will, encounter with the Spirit of God where we experience His presence again and again throughout the day. Every day. You ask Him to come and take control. According to one of the greatest Christian leaders of the 20th century, Bill Bright, as I mentioned earlier, the most important aspect of the Christian life for you to nail down is learning how to live the Spirit-filled life. Remember what he said? "If I had only one sermon to preach, it would be how to be filled with the Holy Spirit." That's how important he felt it was. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have power and peace. We bless others with spiritual gifts, and we're driven by the fruits of the Spirit. And if you want to connect with God, then make it your objective to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of your life. Open your life up to him. Ask him to fill you. How do you do it? It's really complicated. Got your pencils out? Write this down. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Write this down literally now. Okay, got space on your page? You ask. You ask. At the beginning of the day, every hour of the day, at the close of the day, you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to fill you like you've never been filled before, to come upon you with power so that you can be useful to him and so that your life will be filled with his glory. If you're serious about your walk with God, if he really matters to you, ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit right now and every day of the week. He'll change you. He'll fill you. And you'll never be the same again. And I'm going to ask you right now, because I think this should be an everyday, this should be something that you do every single moment that God comes into your mind. If you're thinking of God, if you want to pray, if you want to live conscious that he's with you, that if he matters to you, every day, every hour, every minute, say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me. Fill me. I want to be more like you. I need your presence. I need your power. I need your comfort. I need your peace. I need who you are. I need the life that only you can give me, and I need it now. It doesn't have to be that elaborate. It can just be, Lord, fill me now because I need you. Can I ask you right now to bow your head? Bow your head. Close your eyes. Very simply say, Father, fill me now, please. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me more like you. Everyone, Father, who has come to you and asked you to fill them with your Spirit, I pray that you would come upon them with a power and a joy and a life that is real and powerful and changes them and makes this day unlike any day that they have lived in their lifetime. Touch them with your presence. I pray in Jesus' name.